Good morning.
Bishop Ed Akers here, 9:45, my live every Sunday morning. If you've been joining me for the last couple of months or years, you know that I'm up here on Sunday morning. There's a handful of you that follow us all the time, and I'm very grateful for that. So I pray this morning you're blessed and you're enjoying life. Hey, let's talk about what's on everybody's mind, at least in the path of North America where this is happening. That is tomorrow's total solar eclipse. Wow. Another solar eclipse. Now, we haven't seen one of this magnitude for a long time in this part of the world. So the question is, that I think everybody's asking, and I've seen so much of this stuff online from prophets and pastors and preachers, all kind of all over the place. This is a significant prophetic sign to this is nothing at all. So what should we do? Now, I don't claim to have all the answers. When it comes to biblical prophecy, nobody has all the answers, especially this answer. The date and time of Jesus' arrival. We like to think we can pinpoint these things, and we're going to show you in the Bible where we're pretty clear about what we shouldn't do. Now, so the question is, what should I do with this eclipse? Is this of prophetic significance? Is this something that should alarm us or wake us up or cause us to change course? My mind goes back to a couple other things. If you've been alive long enough, I remember Y2K. 24 years ago, quarter of a century now, Y2K, the world was crashing. We all were putting food aside. The prophets were telling us this was the beginning of the millennial reign. Jesus was coming back very soon, maybe right at the turn of the 2000 from 1999. Of course, now 25 years, almost a quarter century later, we can say, hey, that probably didn't materialize the way we were told. I've been in the charismatic movement since 1980. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1980. And have, for all of these years, been in the body of Christ in the part where we have a lot of prophetic involvement, a lot of supernatural things, and we have a lot of people putting forth propositions concerning prophecy that many times do not transpire. And often we're told when they don't transpire, well, this happened in the spirit, happened between the angels and the demons, and you can't really see it, but it's going to affect Earth. Or, hey, maybe this prophecy will come to pass, but it might be 30 years from now. Well, not much of a prophet if you have to, like, make excuses for prophecies that don't come to pass. I asked a friend of mine the other day, maybe we should reinstitute the stoning of false prophets, because false prophets stir up either false hope or, most times, anxiety. Now, so I remember the planets aligning. That was a big deal, 1988, all the way back to 88, the big alignment of the planets in the year 88. There was a date set by a very popular healing evangelist. That did not happen. Same thing happened another time planets were aligning a few years ago. 2012, the end of the Aztec calendar. The time when the calendar that was based on the lunar and solar cycles was coming to an end, that had been projected out by the Aztecs and the Incas and that culture. Nothing happened in 2012. Now, some people say, well, yeah, a couple years later this happened, or 3 years later we had a pandemic after this prediction or that prediction. It's easy to armchair quarterback. I heard nothing about prophetic pronouncement about this eclipse from all the sources of people I kind of listen to and hear about and hear over the last 4 or 5 years about this one having any significance at all, until about 2 or 3 weeks ago when it became popular to talk about. Let's wise up. So my short answer is this eclipse tomorrow, and we're right near the middle of it. Matter of fact, my daughter lives right in the middle of it. My daughter and my son-in-law have a shop in Wapakoneta, Ohio. That is the home of Neil Armstrong. Polish Supply, a little plug for Zach and Bethany. Really cool little haberdashery store. They're right in Wapakoneta. Right across from his store is a giant helmet and a statue of Neil Armstrong, one of a handful of men who walked on the moon and the first one to put his feet on the moon. That town is going to be blitzed tomorrow. So, yeah, it's a big deal, but is it something prophetically that I should be concerned about? And my short answer is no. And let me give you some thoughts on this. Eclipses happen somewhere in the world every 12 to 18 months. But because this one's coming straight across the path of America, and some odd prophecy about cities of Nineveh, named Nineveh, throughout the course of this, that it's a warning to us that we should repent. I want to tell you right now, Jesus came preaching repentance, and he told his church to tell men everywhere to repent. We don't have to have a sun sign, a moon sign, a star sign to tell us to repent. There's enough sins in America to point out that we can call people on repentance and on the carpet for ungodliness every single day, and the church should be doing that. We've watched natural disasters, horrendous things happen, and has never in our lifetime, my lifetime, birthed a huge move of God. God sent Jesus to cataclysmic change the way we come to God, not to use the earth to cataclysmic scare us to death by natural occurrences. Let's look at what the Bible says too. Joel 2:31, well, we get quoted a lot about this eclipse business. Joel 2:31, the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon turned to blood before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. Mark, Matthew, and Luke, three gospels out of four, all mention the darkening of the sun. And of course, Jesus Christ on the cross, there was a 3-hour block of complete darkness on the earth. Now, that was not a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse of any kind. Historically and in day tracking and star tracking and all of the things that we can do, that was not a natural occurrence. And that's a key for you to hear. That's a key when you come to interpreting things that are happening on the earth. So number one, eclipses are part of God's natural creation, and they are predictable and forecastable. Unlike Jesus' 3 hours of darkness, which I just mentioned, 3 hours of darkness that Jesus experienced and that the earth experienced, was not a natural cycle event, and it was a supernatural event by God, demonstrating a couple things. One, the separation of himself from his son in the flesh, and where Jesus said, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Also, the darkness covered the earth as God poured his wrath on Christ, and the earth mourned and was shaken by earthquakes. That none of this was lunar or solar motivated, and it was not astronomical. It was supernatural. That is the kind of eclipse Joel was talking about, when the sun will go black and the moon will melt like wax. The earth will melt like wax. The moon will turn to blood. This is a cataclysmic end time moment when God establishes the eternities beyond all of this creation, the very final judgment. Don't have time to get into all of that. So an unexpected darkening event. Now some could argue, hey, earthquakes are unexpected. Famines are unexpected. So let's look at that. Number two, as I mentioned earlier, we know there are total solar eclipses on the earth every 12 to 18 months, more like 18, but sometimes they come in within a year. These go on all the time. And because it's coming across North America, Americans, especially American evangelicals, believe this is something important. I read an article from Israeli Chronicle, one of the primary publications in Israel. It said, solar eclipse of North America has some evangelical Christians convinced Christ is coming. So none of the rest of the world is paying attention to this, and there's a reason. Because American Christians really believe that God revolves everything around America, around the American church. Now, some other guys have been talking about this, so I'm adding in and chiming in, and some of it I've learned from them, but at the same time, I've been around long enough. This Americanized version of Christianity, where America is the center of all biblical prophecy, is not biblically correct. Israel, the nation of Israel, is the focal point. The fact that they are at war within just a little over a generation of becoming a nation again, the regathering of the Jews, and now they're at war, that's more of a sign to us than anything the stars can show us. So, the heavens are not the primary, and number three, the heavens are not the primary concern or focus of signs of Jesus coming. Natural phenomena. The falling away of the church is. Israel at war is. Persecution of the church, as Matthew 24:6-13. Increase in wickedness. Betrayal of one another. Betrayal of God increases. The love of many will grow cold. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famines in diverse places. But the end is not yet. These are the beginnings of birth pains. We've been in birth pains for a while. Some biblical scholars argue that when Jesus resurrected from the dead, the last days began. We have been in the 2,000 year plus period of birth pains. They are increasing. As you get toward the end of labor, any mother who's given a child will tell you, the labor pains that start out increase until the baby's born. The earth is increasing in wickedness, ungodliness, the falling away of the church. Simultaneously, there's a move of God around the world that's taking place, even in the heart of Islam. And so God is rising up with a end time harvest, and there is an end time falling away. These two things are, in fact, signs of Jesus soon coming. The second thing that is a big sign of Jesus coming, or no, the second thing we're hearing about is that, okay, this isn't Jesus coming. This is a sign because it's going over Nineveh cities that God is saying, repent, America. Well, the preacher should be saying, repent, America. The Christian should be saying, repent, America. And if we could argue aborting millions and maybe even billions of babies, thumbing our nose at God and making gay marriage legal, and using perverse sexual deviancy as normalcy, immorality in our streets and in our churches, and excessive materialism and greed in our churches and pulpits, God has already judged America. David Wilkerson said God judged America a long time ago. He's already left. Ichabod has been written on the American church. I would say that's true to a large extent, except for the remnant of people who are still hungry to follow God. Those signs mean a lot more than a solar eclipse. Number four, no one knows the day or the hour, Matthew 24:36. So let's stop trying to predict Jesus' coming dates. I mean, just stop. You don't know. Said the Father holds this to himself. Not even the Son, while he was in his flesh, knew the time nor the season. No angel in heaven, no one on earth. If somebody tells you, hey, Jesus told me he's coming back on May 13th, 2000, or 2058, don't believe it. Won't believe it, won't even listen. So there's no fear needed if you're a born-again child of God if he is coming soon, because we're looking forward to his coming. After the great book of Revelation, the Apostle John saw the coming of the Lord, saw the terror in the skies, saw the tribulation period, saw the final judgment, saw the judgment seat of Christ, saw Christ coming on a stallion with blood, dipped in blood, set on the side of his thigh, King of kings and Lord of lords. Mighty and triumphant, with a two-edged sword blasting from his mouth, judging the nations. He saw all that. Saw all of it, how it was going to happen. And at the end said, even so, Jesus, or even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Wow. He wanted him to come back. Why? I want Jesus to come back. I'm ready. My family, I believe, is mostly ready. I'm trying to get everybody else ready. I can't. Yeah, I want him to come tomorrow. But I'm going to live my life like he's not coming tomorrow. And live it like he's coming in the next 30 seconds, or he ain't coming in the next 30 years. Either way, I'm living the same, because he's transformed and changed me, and I know he's coming back. Finally, what should you do, and what should I do in light of this eclipse tomorrow? Well, number one, enjoy the eclipse if you're in the area to see it. Here in Grove City, we got a 99.4% eclipse. We're thinking about getting to where it's greater. We know the crowds are going to be crazy getting away from it, but it is a great phenomenon to see, and it just solidifies the goodness of God and his wonderful creation. I mean, the majesty of the view that you will see, its impact upon the surrounding nature and the earth around you for those several minutes. It's a sight to behold, so enjoy it. There's no flames coming down from heaven to burn our eyes out. You might want to wear your glasses, though, when you're supposed to, so you don't damage your eyeballs and have to come to church praying for healing. Enjoy the moment. Maybe use it as a way to tell others about Jesus. Hey, you know, Jesus went through a three-hour darkness while he hung on the cross for you and me. Great opening line. Number two, tell them, hey, man, before I knew Jesus, I couldn't see the light. Like that moon came over that sun, made it all dark. Didn't mean he wasn't there. I just couldn't see him. But as soon as the sin got out of the way, as soon as Jesus forgave me, the brightness of the sun came back into my life. Testimony time, witnessing time, huh? So, and finally, Wear those glasses. Don't want you to damage your eyes. I already said that. So, do I believe that this eclipse or any other natural phenomenon eclipse is the Joel eclipse? No. Do I believe this is a significant call to the nation to repent? No. Should we repent? Yes. Is Jesus coming? Will there be signs? Yes. But April 8th, 2024 eclipse isn't it. If I'm wrong and he comes back during the eclipse tomorrow, you can tell me as we're going up to heaven. But I have a feeling it won't matter then. Don't let people's speculation, people taking with social media now, trying to get, you know, trying to stir everyone up so that they can get their name more propagated. Let's look at the deviancy of what's driving even many people who claim to be prophets, preachers, pastors. Because somebody stands in a pulpit doesn't mean you should follow every word they say. Search out this Bible for yourself. Let God speak to you. The Holy Spirit will come and he will speak. But whatever you do, don't be afraid. The Bible says, we do not fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be thrown into the sea, though the tides roar, and great is the tumult of it. For we do not fear. For the Lord, our God, is our protector. Christians anticipate with great joy the coming of Jesus. We don't have to use the solar eclipse to tell people to repent. Just show them Christ. And that will eclipse anything else people are trying to say. I love you, appreciate you. Remember these words from 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to my website, victoriouslivinginternational.com, to learn more about Victorious Living Church's global ministry, which I now spearhead and work with a team that does a phenomenal job. We will be in Honduras in a couple of weeks, preaching a large mass rally in the city of Yoro. If you're in that area, come and see us. God will break out in signs, wonders, and miracles. Pray for us as we go to Honduras to participate in an 18-city mass crusades happening at the same time simultaneously event. The nation of Honduras is about to be shaken by the goodness and power of God. Pray for us. Maybe support us and become a partner. We're down to only needing 10 more 51,000 partners. Some people who will say, I'll give $1,000 over the course of 2024, the entire year, spread it out, however you want to do it. We have 40 of those. Thank God for that. That's our base of operation. We appreciate that. Also, if you're able today, catch Victorious Living Church. We're starting a series on the Holy Spirit, introduction to the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus left, resurrected from the dead, he sent another comforter. This is the reality of what we live in today. Pastor Brent and the team has a fantastic service prepared for you. That's at 1045 at VLCC.tv or Victorious Living Church Facebook page. God bless you. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, share this thing. Go to my YouTube channel, subscribe, follow me on podcasts. Look up Victorious Living with Bishop Ed Akers. You'll find my podcasts, YouTube channels, all of that. Follow, share, subscribe, whatever you need to do. Let's get this word out. Love you. God bless you. Happy Eclipse Day tomorrow. Talk to you soon.